Welcome to another exciting episode of The Street Photography Show with me, your host, Mark Rossi. On tonight's show, I have the pleasure of speaking with Claire Vergara, a very talented photographer and street photographer that hails from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Welcome, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good, good. I'm so happy you were able to join me here on The Street Photography Show. I got to say, I was looking at your Instagram feed. Really, really phenomenal work, actually. I really like your images. I noticed you shoot in predominantly color.
Yes. Yeah, predominantly color, because my outlook in life is that I don't like everything black and white. Sometimes life is joyful and happy in color.
So having said that, then, you do shoot in color, and I'm assuming that you do use digital cameras, correct?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Ever use film?
No, I haven't. I know I had friends that do film, but I'm still playing around with the digital camera, the mirrorless camera that I have. And you know what? I just went with it, you know?
Yeah, why not? As long as as long as it works, right? Sometimes the best camera is the one you've got. What gear do you use right now?
So right now I use the Canon RP. So it is a full frame mirrorless camera. I do also have my go-to lens, which is a 24-105mm lens. That's like my go-to for everything, landscape, street, for portraits sometimes, or events. It's one lens for all. I also have other lenses as well, like the Nifty 50. I have the 55-250mm lens for like those zoom ones if I'm taking something from far away. But mostly for street photography, I am shooting with like the 24-105mm lens.
How did you get into photography? And specifically, how did you get into street photography?
All right. So one thing for sure is that I do want to blame one particular event that got me into photography, COVID. I got my first camera, which is a DSLR, back in 2019 as a graduation present, and my theme that year was be different. So I've done just mostly close-up shots or sometimes just bokeh photos. And then also COVID happened, where you're just stuck at home doing nothing. And then I realized that I have my camera collecting dust. So once the restrictions were lifted, that's when I started going out and shooting more. Plus, I just moved to Toronto in 2019. I used to be in Niagara Falls. So a big change. And you know what? Like, I kept on walking and exploring, usually the downtown core, because that's where it's all lively and all the architecture. And then, you know what? I should take more photos. And also, I watched hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of YouTube videos of street photography. And that's like, okay, I watch a lot and I need to put that to work. That's what I did them all along. And here I am with 3 features later.
You did what a lot of people do. They'll go on YouTube, right? Because YouTube is, it's a wealth of information for that. And I watch quite a few YouTube channels. What channels would you be watching? Just curious.
Okay. So primarily I was watching videos of Peter McKinnon. There was also Mark McGee with his street photography point of views or POVs around the UK, Pat Kay, and then also I was watching with careful attention to detail to Kenneth Hines, who is based in Atlanta. And fun fact, I actually met him during Profusion this year in Toronto. He was one of the speakers. With the whole photography thing, it became my passion, basically, to put me outside of the 9-to-5 grind. This is why, I do a lot of photography, especially with street photography. It just gives me that peace and tranquility that I'm just with my camera and I don't care. I just want to take photos, create art, be creative.
It's like a balance. It's a balance, right?
Yes, most definitely.
Especially when you are working a 9-to-5 job and you're in an office environment, everybody needs that escape. What inspires you? Like, what inspires Claire to go out there and capture these beautiful images that you have on your Instagram feed?
Okay, so basically it's whatever I see on Instagram posted by other photographers. So I go out there, but here's the twist. How can I make those photos that I see on Instagram my own? So I can't just take bazillion pictures of CN Tower. There has to be something that is of my style. So I would do like certain angles, do it on a certain day, or sometimes I have this lens ball, which is like the glass ball, and I could just have like a reflection of CN Tower. Yes. Oh my God. Like that's like my little friend. Like if anything doesn't work, just grab the lens ball and go ham. And then also another place would be the Iron Building or Gudaram Building. So again, hundreds of photos of Gudaram, but how can you make it your own? So I'm usually there just camping. And then if I am able to capture, like, say, this lady just walking, and which is what one of the pictures that I have posted somewhere on Instagram, like, it was just the perfect street photography because you always want to showcase people walking in the scene. There are some cases that it didn't work, but this one, it was just, she was right in where I want her to be, and it was my photo.
I mean, that's a very popular destination for a lot of photographers. And oftentimes when you're there and you're photographing that building, you'll run into other photographers. You'll see other photographers with a tripod or whatnot, and they're set up. It always seems like it's from that one spot across the street where that it's like a crosswalk. And then to the left, if you're looking at the building, there's a crosswalk, obviously in front of it, but then there's the sidewalk to the left where the lights are. I would stand under there taking the shot. I mean, there are some guys that'll go in the middle of the road.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Or you know what? Even with the drone, even though like it's kind of banned because of Billy Bishop in the proximity, but people still head out there. Even on a rainy day, like as long as there are puddles right down the middle, I see photographers down there and taking photos to have that reflection shot.
And so when you see these other photographers, I got to ask you, do you ever make the effort to go up to them and initiate conversation, or do you get approached by other photographers? I've always been curious about that.
Well, you know what? That's what I do too. I think most of the time I'm approaching, and whenever I say hey, and then when they look at me, they think I'm a stranger, but I usually just lift up my camera and say, hey, I'm a photographer too. Have you taken any shots lately, or what's your photos like? You know, like we always want to just have a friendly exchange that I want to see how they take the photo, and they want, and I can give them the opportunity to see how I took that same photo of the same building.
Yeah, it's happened to me in the past, right, where a photographer's come up to me, and it's funny because it always seems to be, hey, what are you using? What are you shooting with? And that's happened to me quite a bit, actually. No, quite a bit. It's happened to me, especially if I'm shooting with a film camera, because I still shoot film. I do get approached quite a bit, and not just from photographers, but from everyday people on the street. Oh my God, you're using a film camera? Are you serious? Like, and especially if I'm walking around with something like my Bronica 645, then I get all kinds of looks and stares and people stopping me. So I don't really take that one out too much with me on the street because I don't want to be disturbed. You know what I mean? When I'm in my zone and I'm taking pictures. So usually I'll just take a 35 millimeter film camera with me if I'm shooting film on the street.
Going off from that, I actually have a fellow photographer who uses the Hasselblad cameras. Yeah, and he told me that he's been getting looks saying, like, how come you're using that? You should be going digital. But you know what? You don't need to be told which camera that you should be shooting. Like, shoot with the type of camera that you're comfortable shooting, whether it's a digital, film, or even your phone.
It's like I said before, right? You shoot with what you got. The point is get out there and shoot. I mean, there's artists on Instagram that's all they do. That's their shtick, if you will. iPhone photography. And it's like, it's really good looking stuff too. It's not like junk. These images are phenomenal. And they're doing it with an iPhone. If it's in your pocket and it's there, pull it out and use it. Why not? Better to shoot with something than nothing, right?
Exactly. There is also a thing too, like you have to like take photos so you have evidence of that this happened or else nothing happened. That's the thing nowadays with phones and cameras, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. Now, you mentioned before that you're using a zoom lens as your go-to lens, correct? 28 to 105, I think you said?
It's the 24-105.
24, okay.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like a wide slash prime. Well, it came as a kit lens with the Canon RP. And you know what? That one I just use for like, I'm just usually my wide shots or like if someone wants to take a portrait.
Is that the one though that you would say is the one that you use regularly? Because the reason why I'm asking is if that is the case, do you, when you go back and you're looking at your images in post, are you ever paying attention to what focal length you're usually shooting in?
Usually no.
I would challenge you to check that out because sometimes you'll find that if you're using a zoom and you're using it for a particular genre of photography, such as, you know, street photography, and you go back in post and as you're processing your pictures and doing all that magic stuff that you can do in Adobe nowadays, and you look at the, you know, at the information and it'll tell you the focal length. You'll find that usually in a particular genre like street photography, usually, not always, you'll see that you're, oh, look, I'm always shooting between 35 and 40 or 40 and 50. Like you will see that. There's that debate about, you know, shooting 35 and then 50. I find that I actually shoot the equivalent of a 50 mil focal length more than anything. I have tried using a 35 millimeter equivalent lens. Believe it or not, I find it to be a little too wide. For Toronto, I think that's because, let's say, if you go to somewhere where it's really packed and tight. So, for example, I've been to Istanbul in Turkey. And if you've ever been to Istanbul, the streets are very narrow. And so I think that's where a 35 millimeter, to me anyways, comes in really handy. And it's also a matter of perspective. Or is it a matter you're in a confound area that you don't, you know, you don't have much room to work with? And I think that's where the 35 shines for me anyways. Otherwise, on the streets of Toronto, where, you know, I go a lot, I find a 50 is perfect. It's just perfect for me. So that's why I was just asking if you ever noticed what focal length you use on your zoom.
I sometimes don't pay attention at the focal length because sometimes it's based on like what I want to achieve. Like I know I took photos of the Ukrainian march and there's sometimes like I want to take of this subject of this kid, which I remembered posting. I just want him like my focus in that photo. And then in the background is the crowd of people marching because he held the sign that I'm just a kid. Please don't bomb me or please don't kill me.
Right. Well, yeah, but see, and that's the thing with the zoom lens, you can actually zoom in and get that shot, right? Whereas with a guy with a 50 millimeter prime, let's say if I'm walking around with a 50 millimeter prime, well, guess what? Instead of zooming, I got to walk up.
Yeah, exactly. I think also with a street photography, it's because of that, you know, that invasion of privacy. So sometimes like I want to be far away. And since that 24-105 comes in handy, it's either like I can come up close or I can just shoot it from a certain distance so that like I'm not invading their privacy. Or even like say if I want to take a picture of this lady in the subway, like I could just snap it really quickly and then put away back in my bag all the same time. So I see what you mean like about like the 35 versus the 50 and so forth.
I just think that when you're using a zoom lens as opposed to a prime lens to get that image that you want to achieve just means you've got to move differently.
Yes. Yeah.
and sometimes it's just not possible depending on your focal length and your situation, right? That camera that you have, I'm trying to picture it in my mind. Does that have a tilt screen at the back?
Yes, like it's the one that kind of pop out, and you could just look it on the side, or if you're trying to do like, I don't know how to describe it, but it's kind of like when you're looking from above and you're taking it at the bottom, and you need the screen right in front of you to make sure that you're getting the shot that you want. So yeah, it has that screen, and I think the Canon RP, it's kind of like the beginner level towards a professional mirrorless camera, like the Canon R5, R6.
Yeah, I'm just asking because, I mean, when you're out there, right, shooting, do you find that you're using that screen or do you shoot with the camera up at your face?
You know what? I use the, or actually I interchange it to like either up in my face. And then also, if I'm at a certain angle, I use D screen. So it depends on the type of photo.
Yeah, I like to mix it up. I have a camera that has a tilt screen. And if I want to be really stealthy, I do utilize that. There are times that I will still put the camera up to my face. Like, you know, I'll shoot the traditional way. I mean, I grew up with film. So I, you know, at that when we had film cameras, we didn't really have a choice. We had to shoot like that. I like the in-your-face sort of photography, and we'll see what kind of reaction I get. I kind of like that. I think that's a bit of a thrill for me and a challenge. There are times that there are some characters that I think this might not be a good idea, but then I think, yeah, but you know what? The hell with it. I'm going to try. So I will kind of try to take a picture of, oh, yeah, I took your picture, and let's hope I don't get my teeth bashed in or something, right? But I mean, that's part of the reason why I love street photography so much is I love that challenge and I love that thrill. That's honestly one of the big things for me about it. I do like the fact, though, with the advent of digital cameras, it's really allowed photographers who, let's say, you know, wouldn't be so comfortable shooting like that. It gives them the opportunity now to say, okay, well, you know what? Maybe I could be more stealthy if I just use my screen and I shoot from the hip or I shoot mid-level. I think that's a good thing because it really now encourages people to try the genre without really having to be too afraid of, negative reaction or confrontation, if you will. And I like that. You know, a lot of these cameras nowadays, especially the new mirrorless cameras, they're so quiet.
And they are.
Yeah, and the autofocus is so fast. And with the aid of the screen that you can just like look down, for all they know, you could be just looking at your camera, you know, looking at a setting or something, right?
Yeah. Like if I had the camera up and then, and if someone just walked by me, they'd be thinking like, oh, she's probably just fixing the whatever settings that I have. But really, I took your photo.
Right. And you didn't know.
No, you didn't know. No.
Unless they follow you on Instagram.
Yeah, for sure. And another, there's actually a story that that ties with that. It was a pride parade that just finished. And I was just walking by this couple. I just came up to them just politely and say, hey, I'm a photographer and I just took your photo, show them. And they're like, oh my God, I love it. Like, and then I just asked them for their email. And then I sent it to them like different versions, like one, just your typical color. And then the other one, it's like them in color and everything else in black and white, just to be more creative. And I got a comment back like, oh my God, like I love your photo and you're more than welcome to post it on social media.
I'm looking at your Instagram feed here, and you like to shoot at night.
Yes.
I personally think the images at nighttime, they're like mystical, if for lack of a better word, right? They just look amazing, magical, especially, you know, depending on what you're photographing at night. Do you put more emphasis on nighttime photography than you do on day photography now? Or is it just a matter of scheduling time, or do you prefer one over the other?
I would say more of scheduling in time. Like if I do any nighttime street photography, it's more like, you know what? I've been itching to head out with the camera. Let's go and do it. I do prefer during daytime because I know that's the busiest. But at the same time, something with me with nighttime photography that makes it whimsical. And some of the photos that I do, even with long exposure, it gives me that essence of, or it gives me that opportunity to be more creative, you know, like, whereas if it's like daytime, 5 p.m. in financial district, forget it. You're not going to be able to do anything, or else you'll be stopped or you'll be harassed with a whole bunch of people.
It's a good time to use a 35 millimeter lens.
That is true.
But I know what you're talking about. Come a certain hour in Toronto, especially in the financial district, and it's like, yeah, you're just pretty much a lost pebble, if you know what I mean, on the beach. It gets pretty hairy down there, that's for sure.
You know what? Like 5 p.m. in financial district, sometimes it's like a big mess. Sometimes, you know what? You may get lucky with your photos, you know? Like some of everyone's photos for street photography, they're phenomenal.
So you're fairly new in the world of street photography. As you evolve as a photographer and as a street photographer and you're taking these images, do you feel you're getting better at your craft? Do you feel like, do you walk away from a photo walk, let's say, and you say to yourself, you know, I learned something today, or, you know, I could have done this better?
You know what? I was going to say the exact same thing, that every single time I come from, even from a session that I did by myself or a photo walk from a group, I feel like, you know what? I think I learned something today. I think I have done something different or something brand new. Because I guess being a street photographer, it's always a never-ending learning curve, or not learning curve, but learning process. There's no set rules that you have to follow. It's just basically the basic photography principles, your basic composition. And with a mix of spontaneity, then of course you just head out and shoot.
With what you just said, what is it about a photograph that Claire says to herself, oh my God, this is a phenomenal shot? What is it about a picture that to you defines it as a great picture?
Having seen like many, many photographers do their own thing, if I go out with a camera and take that shot, it's just, I know what I'm doing, or think I know what I'm doing, and get the angles that you want to have. Sometimes maybe something unconventional. And then once you look at the post-production and you go for edit, I would be like, wow, I did that. So it's basically when you go through the series of photos and just I'm telling myself in my mind that, you know what, Claire, these photos, they can qualify to like any photo out of there or any magazine. And it's your style. No one else can do it. It's just a certain emotion or certain thought or certain feeling or something happened that day. And as I mentioned earlier, luck and spontaneous, it's sometimes that moment that would never come across again or even by anybody. And a perfect example of that is that one of the photos that I have pinned on Instagram is that seagull that's flying through that rail bridge. That was actually dubbed by the camera brand is perfect timing, because I would never have taken that photo if I didn't grab my camera and shoot it.
I think that I'm actually looking at it right now, and that photograph was actually featured by Canon Canada. So that was pretty cool. I'm just looking at it. I'm just looking at it right now.
I remember that day, like just the shorter version of it, that I was just out with my dad. He wanted to take photos of seagulls as they were diving into the water and flying away. So we were taking a whole bunch of those. Then I saw this seagull that was flying right by that railroad bridge, and I just took it. I'm like, and I got it like that, and it was perfect.
Yeah, it is. I'm looking at it, it's actually dead on, like dead center.
Yes, dead center. And I think also the other thing too is how can you make that photo as money shot? Like, how can you make something that is yours and you could call it, this is my money shot photo?
Right, right. Or like we used to say, this is my Kodak moment photo.
Yeah, Kodak moment.
I don't know if you remember that, but that's what we used to say when we used to get a really, really great image back in the day. Oh, I got my Kodak photo. I got my Kodak moment, right? So I'm aging myself a bit here, but
it's okay. Like I remember that I was growing up with the Kodak. Now it's the iPhone. Or
you know, looking at your Instagram feed, I usually like to pull out one image that my guests do, and I'm going to do that with you here. So I'm looking at, you know, we talked earlier in our discussion about we both have the lens ball. And I'm looking at a picture, which as I'm scrolling down your feed, it instantly just said, stop. And I wanted to look at it more. And it's that image that you posted on July 25th, and you're holding up the lens ball. And I just want to paint a picture here for our listeners. You're holding up the lens ball and you've got umbrellas all over you, clearly, because I can see them in the lens ball. And then it's so pretty because the background is in, you know, out of focus. And all you see is these beautiful colors in the, you know, in the background, all blurred and blending in with one another. And then you look at your lens ball and you can clearly see their upside down umbrellas. I'm just curious, what's the story behind that picture? Where were you? Maybe you could just talk a little bit more about that photo, because I like I said, I was scrolling down your Instagram feed and it instantly grabbed my attention.
Okay, so that one was actually at Stack Market in downtown Toronto, and of course they had the umbrella art at that area, so that's the umbrella pictures. And then the reason why I grabbed the lens ball in my bag and took that photo is because I remembered seeing that before. I don't know if it was in Quebec or somewhere else in Europe or so. And then I think I've seen another photographer do the same thing with the lens ball and stuff. And I just thought of it that a cool way to feature an umbrella is looking in a different perspective, thus the lens ball. And I also thought of colors. I think on that day, it just cleared up from rain. It's kind of like the sun coming out of a rainy day. We have these umbrellas and, trying to cheer up the entire mood or the entire environment. Plus, I was with some friends at that time, so we were just there to see the umbrellas.
Right. But it's a great opportunity to take a great picture. What's one tip you can give our listeners? Now that you've been doing it for a few years, all right, what do you hope happens with you as a photographer? Like as you develop, like where are you hoping you'll be as an artist, let's say?
Well, for anyone that's listening out there, especially if they're trying to get into photography, I remember saying this before in another podcast that just simply just get your camera and go out there and shoot. That's as simple as that. But also to anyone who's trying to do like street photography, especially at night, this is something that I read somewhere from a MasterChef winner, and she said, the greatest success comes with the greatest risk. So if you want to achieve the photos that you want, sometimes it does take some risk to even just get out there. Gotta know what's out there, even though it's kind of dangerous, but you know what? Go do it. Doesn't matter. Just go do it. Or
Get out of your comfort zone, right?
exactly. Get out of that box and take it.
Hence why you're doing street photography now.
Yes. and then in a couple years' time, I do hope to go to different places. I do plan to travel. I do want to showcase my home country, the Philippines.
Ah, so maybe an exhibit or something.
Yeah, an exhibit to showcase street photography, but also showcasing my culture. And one day, hopefully, if I can go home to the Philippines and do street photography the way that I do it here, minus nighttime because it's kind of dangerous, but if I can showcase that, it would be like a greater appreciation to everyone in the photography world saying like, this is what it's like in certain countries. This is what it's like being a Filipino or being a citizen of that country. It kind of opens doors on the culture or tourism or even for a fact, like say maybe being for the good or helping like the impoverished people, so that it gives like a platform, like I can use my platform to even promote goodwill work and of course some exploration to any other photographers out there. They may say they have been to this country, but I think with now the world opening after COVID, they should also explore the Philippines and see what they have to offer.
Hear, hear. I agree. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining me today on the show.
You're welcome.
It was really nice to get to know you as a photographer, and I really enjoy your work. And I just wanted to also extend the opportunity to you to maybe share with our listeners if they want to learn a little bit more about you and see what you do and your work. Where can they see you online? Where can they find your work?
Yeah, of course. So if anyone is on Facebook, they can just search, or actually they can type in their browser, facebook.com / shutterbugclaire. I'm also on Instagram at nvero and thread as shutterbugclaire. I also have a website, shutterbugclaire.com. And on Twitter, it's cvergs. That's also my personal Twitter, but I'm transforming that to more of my photography work so that they could, if they're on Twitter or they don't have access to anyone, to anything else, like I'm trying to make myself available on all channels. So Twitter, cvergs, Instagram, Vero, and Facebook, shutterbugclaire.
Awesome. And we'll have those links in the show notes below. So we'll make sure that we get that info from you. And this
Okay,
way, our
great.
listeners can have any link they want in your case, because it sounds like you're on
Yes.
many platforms. Thank you so much again. As I said, I really appreciate it, you know, talking with you. And I'm really excited that you're excited because, you know, I get that feeling from you. You know, you're one of these newer photographers and you've got that, what's the word I'm looking for? You've got that motivation. You've got that bug. You've got the photo bug, right? So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to even be on this podcast. Thank you so much.
That's very nice of you to say. Thank you. Okay. Remember to check out Claire's work by clicking on the link in the show notes below. If you enjoyed the show, please remember to follow and highly rate the show as it allows me to continue creating more content for you, my awesome listeners. Also, don't forget to join us next week as new episodes are added on Fridays. Until next time, keep walking and keep clicking. This is Mark Rossi. Bye for now.